to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. And the hands went up and praise the Lord. So we're glad that you have tuned into WMIE 91.5 FM today as we get into the Word of God. We're going to pick up where we left off on Friday. We're going to be in Acts chapter 11. But I wanted to say thank you to the folks at Coastal Image Landscapes. They have been a great blessing to us at the church and to my wife and I at our house in taking care of projects. Their phone number is 321-208-2281. Dan, his daughter, Treasure, got another daughter that was working with them as well, and a great team, have done a great job at not only setting our church up for, you know, to look really good. They've devised a system for us to keep the sprinkler heads from staining the building. For that, we are extremely thankful. They also come and make sure that things that are not supposed to be growing aren't growing. So if there's things that have popped up, they get those removed for us. They have done pavers for us. They do a great job. And I did think of this. Just in conversations with him, in case you don't know, I happen to love golf. Now, not love as in I've got to play it every day. I just happen to enjoy playing golf and getting out there when the weather is not, 200 degrees and things like that. I have the gift of exaggeration. But when he was doing the renovation, when Dan was doing the renovation on our landscaping, and installing some pavers and things like that, he said, if you want a putting green, we could install a putting green for you. And, you know, I've driven up and down Tropical Trail thousands of times over nearly 30 years. And there was always a house that caught my attention. And there's a house there on South Courtney, I believe it is, that has a putting green. That house came up for sale, and so my wife and I went and looked at it, and I tell you, it was a challenging putting green because I had to go out there and test it. But if you're a golfer and you wanted a putting green, the folks at Coastal Image Landscapes can even help you with that. They are wonderful, wonderful people to deal with, Dan and his team. 321-208-2281. That gets you in touch with David. But if you do give them a call and say, can you help me with my exterior, beautification project, whatever it might be, tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program, and that would be greatly appreciated. So today we're going to go to Acts chapter 11 again. On Friday's broadcast, we were talking about the things that we remember. I pray that you remember more good things than bad things. I pray that you remember more of God's blessings than more of life's challenges. I pray that you remember the wonderful events that have happened in your life instead of the things that left you complaining. I think that if we would renew our minds, we would be able to remember more of the things God's done than complaining about the things that have happened to us in this fallen world. So on Friday, we were talking about Peter saying here in Acts chapter 11, verse number 16, then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? So, he says, I remembered the word of the Lord. We've already talked about that. And then he remembers the specific word of God. The disciples traveled with Jesus for 3.5 years. Jesus would teach them things. They would kind of bob their head up and down, like, yes, I understand. But it wasn't until right before he was crucified that they said, now you're speaking in a language that we can understand. And he says, you finally get it. I'm getting ready to be crucified. And then when he was crucified, they didn't remember everything that he had said about being raised from the dead. You know who did remember what Jesus had said? His critics, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leadership. They remember. They said, we remembered he said something about being raised from the dead, and Pilate said, go and make his tomb as secure as possible. I want you to know that the greatest security measures that mankind has ever invented are insufficient to prevent God from coming and doing what he has planned, what he has purposed. His plans will come to pass. Several years ago, it's a couple of decades ago. Let's see, was it? No, it's about a decade and a half ago. I was invited to be a part of a military retirement ceremony. They had been in Brevard County and they moved out of the area. They invited me to come out to that region. And so I agreed. I went out there, and it was a very, very secure facility. The stuff that you see on some of the action movies about people who hack in and to high security facilities and everything, that's not going to happen. It might make for a great plot in a movie, but it's not going to happen. There were multiple layers of security that you had to go through. And, you know, sometimes in the movies they have those fingerprint devices and say, okay, well, these are the buttons they pushed. Well, at this particular facility, that wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have worked during the body scan. It wouldn't have worked during the weighing process. It was a very, very secure. I tell you, God could still surpass the greatest security measures that man has ever come up with. His will is going to come to pass. But you and I are called to remember the word of God for our benefit. Okay? We may not understand what is going on. The Pharisees didn't really believe that it was going to take place, but they wanted to make sure. And then when it did happen, they said, okay, let's implement plan B. And, you know, somehow that they managed to pull that off. And that's been widely reported throughout their day. But the reality is Jesus fulfills his word. And so it's very important for us to know the word of God, hide his word in our hearts so that we can remember the word of God. One of the things I'm challenging our congregation is, look, the spiritual dynamic is changing, and there's no guarantee that your access to the word of God is going to continue at the same level that it is happening right now. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ is in direct opposition to the world system. It's referred to as the Babylonian system in the book of Revelation. There's hostilities between the two, and there may come a time where, you know, some of your electronic access may not be permitted, you know, that they do like in other countries where they try and restrict physical Bibles and things like that. And I don't see that happening anytime soon, but if it did, do you have enough of the word hidden in your heart that you could say, okay, this is why we don't do this? So we launched our discipleship Fire Bible, our Fire Bible discipleship program, back on September 7th this month. And one of the things that I wanted to do is I wanted to start with the authority and the inspiration of Scripture, because That is the foundation upon which everything else is built. If you ask people, do you believe in God? A lot of people tell you they believe in God, but their belief system doesn't line up with the Word of God. And if that's the case, then you don't adjust the Word to fit your belief system. You adjust your belief system to fit the Word of God. And so we wanted to start with, hey, this is the Word of God. It is inspired by God. It is God-breathed. And so that's why it's very important for us to remember it. And so what would happen is they would begin to go through life after Jesus' resurrection, the disciples would, and all of a sudden they'd find themselves in a situation and somebody would say, I remember the Word. I remember what the Word says. And that's a great privilege. That's something to be celebrated. I think I've said this before. If I haven't, then you're going to hear it now. I think Christians need to be better at celebrating victories. We live in such a dynamic culture, and one person's day of victory is another person's day of their greatest challenge. And the more people that you interact with, you can be having both on the same day. There can be a day of celebration for one and a day of mourning for another, and we need to be spiritually led in both of those situations. But when there's a victory, celebrate it. Celebrate it because you're going to remember the Word of God. Like I said, I celebrate when I get to lead somebody to Jesus, but I celebrate even more when someone else in the church gets to lead someone to Jesus. So here's what Peter remembered. He said, I remember Jesus saying, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I might add that that verse goes on to say, and with fire. You and I are to live our lives not just having an encounter with Jesus, but to be fully engulfed and encompassed by the presence of God. And that includes God the Holy Spirit as well, to be immersed in His presence. Through the years, I've had a couple of people that have told me, they said, I found myself in my most trying season of my life. And so what they chose to do was they chose to immerse themselves in God. They immersed themselves in the Word of God. They immersed themselves in ministry and healing, and life changed. It radically improved. But before long, they were back to dealing with the challenges of life instead of immersed in the presence of God, and they found themselves right back in those same challenging environments again. So I can tell you that we have multiple means of baptizing people. We have a baptistry. My preferred method is the ocean, but I've baptized people in swimming pools as well. It just depends on what people want to do. And I can tell you that it's a lot easier to baptize someone in an adequate pool of water than a shallow pool of water. And I've learned that by experience. So I want to encourage you not just to have a shallow relationship with God, but one where you are immersed in the Word, that you are completely encompassed with your relationship with Jesus, and you're completely surrounded by God the Holy Spirit, who leads you, who guides you into all truth, who empowers you in what you are supposed to say, and brings back to your remembrance the things that have been spoken in the Word of God, who operates in your midst in such a way that people acknowledge the presence of God, even though they came in as skeptics and unbelievers. Okay? We need that sort of ministry. And so we've talked about baptism. I'm not going to camp there throughout the rest of the program. So Acts chapter 11, verse number 17 says this: if therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? So we are talking about dealing with this conflict here. And if you and I will be sensitive, God will give us the wisdom that we need that will turn a contentious moment into a worship moment. If you remember back in Acts chapter 4, verse number, let's see, where is it? Where, give me just a second here. It's in verse number 16, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Okay? That's a great truth. I want God operating in our churches and in our ministries to such an extent that no one can deny that God has done a notable miracle. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. In other words, the message to the church, even in the earliest days, was sit down and shut up. You know, now I personally think that if there's a miracle taking place, I would say, let's get everybody who needs a miracle. Let's see if we can get everybody a miracle. It would, how do I want to say this? I think a community of supernaturally transformed and restored and whole individuals makes life a whole lot better than having to deal with a whole community of fractured, wounded, injured, and traumatized individuals. Okay, so that's just me. I think God can touch entire communities, and I think we ought to encourage that. Believe for that. Verse number 18 of Acts chapter 4. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. So now they've got a command not to do what God has told them to do. Here is Peter's response there. Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So that was a contentious moment with believers and people who did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. This in Acts chapter 11 is people inside the church. And Peter said, look, God gave them the exact same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Same gift. What are you gonna? If God did that, okay, who am I? Who was I that I could withstand God? You know, I think that is a tremendous question. Who is the politician who thinks that they know better than God? All the while claiming to be in a relationship with God and disregarding everything that he says. That's not the type of healthy dynamic. Look, God is not there at our beck and call. We are here as servants of the Lord God Most High. We are here to serve him and his kingdom. Our prayer is, not my will, but thy will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We have, to some extent, allowed a spirit of selfishness to creep in to our churches that has displaced the spirit of holiness, if you will, we want churches that are going to be pleasing to us many times more than we would desire churches that are pleasing to God. And so this moment, this Acts 10, Acts 11 encounter with Cornelius and Peter and angels and the Holy Spirit and all, it created a truth moment, a moment of revelation for Peter. And I'll just say this about what he says here in verse number 17. He approaches this with a great deal of wisdom and, you know, understanding this. They don't have the same revelation that I have, and so I need to understand and approach them in a manner that is going to help them to understand what really took place there as a God-ordained moment. Okay? A number of times we communicate with people and we think that they have the same background with us, the same understanding with us, the same knowledge of the word with us. They speak the same jargon that we do. And that really, that doesn't happen. That's not always true. You know, so people will say, everybody knows about this story. Well, no, not everybody does anymore. That's why whenever I'm reading through the word and the word gospel is mentioned, I always try and remind people, because gospel's a good word. It's a biblical word. But most people don't know that the gospel means that it is good news. And so Peter is talking to these believers, and the point of his communication is this. Well, if God gave you the same gift that he gave them, how would you respond? If God gave them the same gift he gave you, how would you respond? In other words, Peter said, I didn't do anything. This was a God moment. I think that's very important for us who are in ministry to remember. And that is, it's about God. We are in partnership with God, if you will. But it is God that does all of the heavy lifting. So I did this message on impartation, and in my study I found that word to impart means to give a part or give an assignment or give a responsibility or give a place to. So I have a part in the kingdom of God. So do you. And once we are in that part, God says, look at the things that we can do when we partner together. You know, a willing, available human being and an omnipotent God. And step back and watch what God does. Okay? A lot of times people say, well, I just want God to do everything. Well, he says, these signs shall accompany them that believe. He tells us to go and make disciples. We are supposed to go and teach. And there is just no getting away from the fact that we have a personal responsibility. Train up a child in the way that he should go. So I was telling this story to my congregation several weeks ago, and it's like, man, when I was on staff, one of my favorite things to say was, well, let's go talk to the pastor. You know, someone would come and complain about something, well, let's go talk to the pastor. Well, no, I don't want to go talk to the pastor. Well, okay, I'm going to go tell the pastor. Do you want to come with me? You know, listen, if people are gossiping and trying to sow seeds of discord and division, the best way to solve that is saying, look, we are going, this information is going to the pastor. It's going with you or without you. And it would be better if you came with me. you know, that's the best way to get this resolved. Then I became the pastor, and everybody was saying, coming to me, or people were coming to me and telling me the challenges. And it's like, God, I'm not equipped for this. And just like, you know, parents and children, I believe that God not only causes children to grow, but I believe he equips parents to grow into leaning on him more than they ever did. Parents oftentimes tell their kids the next stage is going to be, or they tell themselves about their kids, the next stage is going to be easier, and the next stage is going to be easier. The next stage is never easier. It just means that you have to lean upon God harder over a different challenge. So Peter says, God gave them the exact same gift he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was I that I could withstand God? So let me close out this program today by asking you this question. Is there anything in your life that God has been wanting to do for you and through you, and you've been reluctant, you've been hesitant, you've been dragging your feet? Because I want to be the voice that encourages you today. Don't be the type of person that fights with God and finally says, okay, fine, I'll give up and do it your way. I want to encourage you, be the type of person that says, God, I don't understand everything that is going on here right now, but I can see this is a God moment and you are up to something. God, I don't want to stand in the way. A person asked me one time, they said, how would you feel if God poured out revival on Merit Assembly of God after you left? And I said, well, how would you feel if it was after you left? For me, I don't really care about me. I care about God. I'm not in it for Bob's glory. And if I'm the guy that plants, then I'm okay. If I'm the guy that weeds, I'm okay. If I'm the guy that waters, okay. But I want God to get the glory because he's the Lord of the harvest. I'm not. But you and I, we do have a part to play. Let's not withstand God today. Let's instead cooperate with him and watch the supernatural things he does. We'll see you tomorrow right here on
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Walk the hill of Calvary. just to be